Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to you, pun intended. From Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. In the hearts of those who seek the Lord, rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders that God has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. We pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks for this day, and as we gather, may we be alert to your presence as we gather here, and may what we offer to you be acceptable in and through that which Christ offers for us. Amen. I invite you to stand to sing for our first song this morning.
Yeah.
Well, again, good morning and welcome to you all. Great to be gathered together here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are very glad that you are here and we welcome you. Let us pray. Loving God, as we gather, we give you thanks and praise, for you are a great and a mighty God. We thank you for this extraordinary world, and as we shared in the psalm earlier on, we give you praise, for you are for your mercy and your grace, for you are our refuge. We thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us, to bring us back to you that we might be fully restored. Lord, it's in the confidence of what he has done for us that we come acknowledging that we're not the people that you've called us to be, that we have fallen short of your glory. And so, Lord, we humbly admit that we need your help. We've wandered from your way, that we've turned away from you in thought and word and action, and at times by what we have failed to do. We confess, O Lord, that you alone can save us, you alone can bring us new life, that you alone can bring us a new beginning. So please have mercy on us. Wipe out our sins and help us as we seek to forgive one another. Please bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live the new life that you grant to us and do so to your glory. We pray in and through the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 says to us that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous one. He's the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And so we're able to know with confidence, because of the work of Christ, that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. Sing, again, let us sing to the God of salvation.
Good morning, everybody, on this nice, crisp, but fine morning at last. You'll see the prayer points on your order of service for you, Nightingale World, Church of North India and Mexico, Kenmore South State School and Chapel Hill Uniting Church, who had their fete yesterday, quite well attended at And I did the cemetery tour, which was very interesting. And if you ever get a chance to do it, it's well worth it. Judy Maygub from the History Society has mapped all the graves and put in. There's a big interpretation sign there now. They've even had one of those archaeological surveys done so that they could see the hidden graves that there's no records for or no markings for that have kind of slipped down the hill. They've also done a lot of work there. I don't know where they've got the money. They're big family plots, most of them, and some of them had slipped down the hill. They've managed to get some restoration work done. It's all nice and tidy. It's all overgrown and kind of neglected, but it was really interesting. There's lots of people there from streets you'd know, Bealby Road, Russell Terrace, Gibson Road, which Kenmore Road used to be Gibson Road. There's the Kings, who had Kings music in the city, you may remember. They're also founders of BBC and Clayfield College, I think it was. The Nolmans, of Griffith and Nolman. So it's a very interesting cemetery and very nicely looked after now. So that was very nice, and you got a Devonshire tea afterwards and a booklet. So, but they do have a lot of plants, more than we had over, I think, so... Yes, I don't know whether they'll donate them here, but I doubt it. Anyway, this week, Reverend David will be at one table on Wednesday at 10 a.m. There's the Visionaries exhibition on now, and the theme is Living Water and Light for the World. That's at the Australian Catholic University, and we have been going there as a group for the past few years. If you'd like to go, please let Wendy know and we might be able to organise a group. There's Marion will be, has some paintings, Gwenda, Dona, Mary Angela, if you know her, and I don't know about Joanna, she might have some. Yep, anyway, it's always very good. Reflections. Dawn's not here and she's not doing it next week, but I'm sure she'll want items for reflections next week. You'll see on your notices there's information about food relief locally. Don't forget the Women's Refuge collection for non-perishable food and toiletries, and this collection of blankets for South Brisbane is still going on up there. Artburst is getting close very quickly, so please start thinking about how you might be able to help for Artburst on the day or beforehand, things like being on the door, parking, inviting your friends, which is very important, and the Belsance concert afterwards. We'll have more information about how to book for that, I'm sure, soon. And Wendy's coming again.
Very quickly, we have another Artburst meeting on Wednesday morning at 9:30. We just meet in the hall down here. Last week we had a cast of thousands, there was Rosemary and I. It is rolling along very quickly. So please let people know what it is that you can do. Hopefully your plants are moving along rapidly in this very cold weather. Probably not. But the kindergarten is doing the high tea, so that takes a whole raft of issues away from us. So that's lovely. And just quickly about the cemetery, I did a fourth year subject on Australian history and mapped the cemetery at the Lutheran Church in Waterford. And I had maps and I would take children, we would walk from the school up and look at the cemetery and the surrounds, and I was told one. Turned out the person that mowed the cemetery would just move the surrounds because it was easier to mow. So what you see might not actually be what is there. Thank you.
In regards to Artburst, if you're part of a community organisation or something similar, just encourage you to let people in that organisation know about that, particularly for the Friday night to come for that. And again, just to be creative and just to think a little bit outside the box about people that you know, that you can encourage to come and be a part of what will be an excellent event. A couple of things to mention more in regards to our life as a community here, some birthdays coming up. So Anne Kenwood's is on Tuesday. I think the 28th. Is the 28th a Tuesday? I think it must be. Yeah? Is the 28th a Tuesday, Glenda? It is? Now, Glenda will know that because it's her birthday as well on the 28th. Yeah, that's right. 21 again. Yes, Glenda's 21 again. We won't ask you how many times you've been 21 again. Now, you'll be in the air by then, or what day do you leave?
We leave on Monday, which is the 27th.
Yes.
On the 27th, because we lose the road.
Yeah.
So it'll be Monday there, and
it'll
be Tuesday here.
Yeah.
I think that's how it is.
So Blair and Glenda are heading off for, we'll be away for a couple of weeks, but really exciting trip, and it sounds absolutely fantastic. And we'll say a prayer for you shortly. In fact, we'll do that now. Do you just want to come forward? Because we often... Is there anyone else heading off for a trip that we haven't prayed for recently? I can't remember. But anyway. Right. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunities that lots of people have, particularly in the life of this congregation, to explore the wonder of this world. And as a part of that, to share in your creation. Thank you for this opportunity that Blair and Glenda have to do that over these next couple of weeks. And we send them off, Lord, into these 2 weeks with your blessing. Pray for all those practical things that need to happen even over these next 24 hours or so, but then for the plane trip and all those things, Lord, may they go very much with the sense of your peace and of your presence, and may it just be a fantastic time of enjoying this world and enjoying each other and the people that they will meet. Lord, we send them with your blessing in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. Okay. And also, Lord, let your blessing be upon Glenda for her birthday on Tuesday, and also Anne Kenwood. We thank you for them both, and we pray that may indeed be a special day for them both in this opportunity to be reminded of your goodness to us in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Last week, Anne shared about her half-sister in South Africa, who was really quite unwell. And asked Anne earlier on, and she actually died on Monday, early in the week. So very quick, that was very quick. It may have been that she had a few weeks to live, maybe, last week, but that indeed was not the case. And so I just want to pause and to pray for Anne and particularly the family and with that news. So we pray. Lord, part of our life as community together here is sharing in the joys of news and all sorts of things, but there are also part of that, but part of life together here is sharing in those moments which are sadder, and such as this news of Anne's half-sister passing away. Lord, that was very quick, and that's a bit of a shock to a lot of people. We pray for her family in South Africa, and certainly for Anne here as well. We thank you, Lord, that she was a person of faith, and that for both her family and for Anne as well, that is such an encouragement, and may that indeed be. May you be their comfort at this time. Surround them with your love and your enveloping arms to embrace them during these days. And Lord, despite that distance between here and South Africa, that there may be this sense of closeness because of the fellowship of your people, and that comes through the knowledge and love of Christ that will draw them together. Give them the strength that they need in these days, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Anne. Shortly we'll hear from the gospel reading, and our next hymn picks up a little of that. We'll hear an echo of that in one of the verses of this hymn by D.T. Niles, The Great Love of God, and I invite us to stand as we sing.
Readings today come from Matthew chapter 13, first verse 31 to 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. From verses 44 to 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, great value. He went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings one out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, these series of parables conclude this chapter 13 of Matthew that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. That's been full of parables. And so just as we finish looking at these today, just to, again, just set the context a little bit of what these parables, where they are set in Matthew 13. Chapter 11 and 12 of Matthew is there's this, the opposition or the resistance to Jesus is starting to build, and in a variety of ways, it's starting to happen. And so chapter 13 is these series of parables that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God. And they're all gathered together in this one place in chapter 13. And so Jesus tells these in response to the growing rejection of him. And so, for example, in verse 14, there's this prophecy of Isaiah. There's a reference back to the prophet Isaiah. There'll be those who do not see. They will hear but will not understand. They will see and not see. There's all this kind of thing about some will get it and some won't. And even though a couple of weeks ago I talked about how Jesus uses the very common things of life to explain things about the kingdom, there's still this reality that some people get it and some people don't as they listen to the parables, that they can be quite confusing, that there's things hidden within them. And for some, there's this mystery remains that for some people, it's as if God says, well, now is the time that is the time of the good soil, that the seed is planted, for example, in that first parable. So there's still a mystery that remains here about those who see and those who hear and those who still don't understand. And curiously, the disciples at the end say that they do understand, but clearly what follows in Matthew's gospel is that sometimes they do, but most often they don't. So these are a series of parables on the kingdom of God. For example, the parable of the sower, the very first one, answers the question that if Jesus is the Son of God, as is being revealed in Matthew, why is it that everyone's not on board with that? Why is there this growing rejection? And the parable of sower is about that, is that the seed is planted in all sorts of places, but it's only the good soil that it grows. So the issue is not with what God is doing. God is planting the good seed. The kingdom of God is good. It's the hard hearts, or that it's where the seed is landing. That is the issue. So these chapter 13 parables are depicting what the kingdom of God, that is the rule and the reign of God brought by Jesus, is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. We've heard the sower, the weeds, and today there's these five short, very succinct parables that I simply want to touch on in various ways: the mustard seed, the leaven, the treasure in a field, the pearl of great price, and the dragnet. And want to again just draw on a little bit of your expertise and experience, particularly in the first two. I think that as I thought about this during the week, that across these five parables, most of us can relate to at least one of them in some way. Again, gardening or farming, there's baking, there's jewelry, there's treasure in fields, there's fishing, all kind of ways. I suspect that pretty much every one of us can relate to something of these five parables. The mustard seed. Gardeners, what's the smallest seed that you have ever seen or planted? Cabbage, sorry? Poppy. Oh, Poppy. That didn't sound like cabbage at all, did it? Better get my other hearing aid out. Poppy seeds, they are tiny, aren't they? Yes. Okay. Other ones?
Lettuce
seeds, yes. Okay.
Carrot.
Very tiny seeds, yes. Red gum. Okay, excellent. Thank you. Gums. And of course, Jesus here uses the scent. Did I send those things through to you, Wendy? I can't remember. Any slides at all? No, that's okay. That's not crucial. That's fine. And of course, mustard seeds are very tiny, but probably back in Jesus' day, mustard bushes are a little bit different than what we have. But there is a sense that this tiny little seed grows into a quite a big shrub, large enough for birds to nest in. So the encouragement here is that the reign of God may seem really weak and small, no more than a tiny, insignificant little seed, but the encouragement is don't be deceived by the humble beginnings of the kingdom of God. And certainly if we think about the life of the early church and Jesus himself born in this little out-of-the-way place in Bethlehem, then there's 12 people that gather around him, and then there's a wider circle of people. And then on the day of Pentecost, there's 120, which becomes 3,000. And so it continues to grow and grow and grow. The point of it is that the kingdom of God starts from the smallest beginnings, but no one knows where it will end. That many nations will be gathered, the idea of the birds nesting, many nations will be gathered into it. William Barclay tells the story of a group of young Christians discussing how best to spread Christian faith. And amongst their group was a girl from Africa who said that when we want to take Christianity to one of our villages, we don't send them books. We take a Christian family and send them to live in the village. And they are Christian by their living presence there. And that's not a bad example for some of the other parables in this passage, in this chapter as well. Small beginnings, mustard seed. Jesus talks about it, the leaven. Okay, bakers out there, tell me a bit about leaven. Is leaven the same as yeast? I think it is, isn't it? Okay. What is leaven used for? Bread. What does it do to the bread? Okay. What happens if you don't use leaven? Flatbread. Okay. Oh dear. And what do you need to do? How do you use leaven? So by putting it in warm water, okay. Yeah. And you mix it through the dough. Okay. You knead it. Okay. How easy is it to remove the leaven? Is that possible? Okay. So all of these things, bring all of these things when you read this parable. Okay. And because this was, as Jesus talked about leaven, it would have been clearly identifiable by everyone that was listening. 3 measures of flour, it talks about 3 measures of flour. That's probably enough for a large family. Okay, so this was just a straightforward, everyday occurrence for people who are listening to this. And for back in this day, it was a piece of fermented dough that would have been left over from the previous baking that would have been worked into this new lot of flour. Now, one of the intriguing things here is that throughout Jewish history and language, and as we read the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, leaven is a negative thing. It was used as a negative thing. So it's used as it's identified as an evil thing. It's a corrupting thing. And that's one of the reasons that in the Passover, they had to get rid of every scrap of leaven, had to remove it all, because it was seen as this evil thing, this corrupting thing, and you need to get rid of it for Passover. And it's fascinating here that Jesus takes that and says, well, the kingdom of God is like leaven. It's actually, and use it as a positive thing. And this would have been a bit of a shock to the people who heard it. To say, for Jesus to say that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, but he uses it, he twists, puts it on its head, as Jesus often did, and for the same reasons that a lot of you have just mentioned, he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. The whole point of the parable is about the transforming power of the leaven, the transforming power of the kingdom of God. Leaven changed the whole character of the flour or the loaf. Okay, and as you said, if you don't have any leaven, it's flat bread, a little bit dry, not particularly flavoursome, but to add the leaven, it changes the character of it, becomes this soft, a bit more porous, and a little bit more flavour. The dough, the flour, is transformed. The coming of the kingdom of God brings a transformation across all of life. And just as you can't remove the leaven, such is the impact of the kingdom of God. Because leaven works silently, internally, but comprehensively across everything. Jesus goes on to tell two similar parables, and yet they're different. The treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. The common ground amongst both of these parables is that when the treasure or pearl is found, the one who found it sells everything and buys it. And again, Jesus here is talking about the demands or the costliness of discipleship, of following in the kingdom of God. So the common ground is that what's found, when it's found, the person sells everything and buys it. What the difference is that for the person who with the treasure in the field is probably a worker who stumbles across it, has no idea it's there. Whereas the pearl of great price, he says it's like a pearl merchant who is actually searching for the one great pearl. So they're quite two different backgrounds and circumstances, but for both, the object found becomes the overriding focus that crowds everything else out, becomes the sole focus. The kingdom of God is like someone who found a treasure in a field or a pearl of great price. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says this, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. For what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." The King James says dung. I consider them dung, but we won't say dung this morning. We'll say rubbish. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So Paul's saying that everything that I've known before I now count as rubbish because I've gained Christ. It's this same sense in this parable. The field worker and the pearl merchant, their discovery takes precedence over being cautious, takes precedence over being of some self-restraint. There would be some who would say that their actions were quite risky and a bit impulsive. But their discovery takes precedence over all of that. Living in the kingdom of God, discipleship, will reshape our priorities and what we see as important. And it results in this single-mindedness in our following of Christ. Just as the Apostle Paul says. But if we take that a little bit further, both of these, particularly the treasure in the field, and we step back a bit, we can discover that this is actually a picture of Jesus himself, that we are the treasure in the field, and that Jesus is the one who searches and finds us and gives up everything so that we would be his. Again, Paul in Philippians 2 talks about that. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He gave up everything that he had for us, that we indeed, as the treasure of God, would be his. Jesus comes and gives his all to redeem us, gives up all to buy us his greatest treasure. The net, the dragnet. And again, for those of you who kind of done the fishing, this is different than throwing a line in. This is a net which captures everything, and they haul it onto the beach or wherever it is, and everything's in there. And then there's a bit of sorting out that needs to happen. And this parable, it's a bit of a contrast to the other ones. It's a bit more like the parable of the weeds, okay? Because our thoughts are directed towards the unveiling of things at the end of time. And there's one thing about these parables in chapter 13 is that it's hard to see how we can read chapter 13 with these parables, particularly the one of the net and also that of the weeds, and not conclude that Jesus clearly spoke of there will come a time when there's a separation that happens. It's pretty hard to read chapter 13 and not come to that conclusion, that there's a separation of that which is evil to that which is righteous in the best use of that word. Okay. That evil will be separated and will be punished. Evil will have to account for what it's done. Okay. And that, so Charles Cusa, for example, in commenting on it, says this, the parabolic depiction of the final judgment adds a dimension to the understanding of discipleship. The discovery of treasures and pearls is not a trivial pursuit. It carries ultimate significance. Selling all one has and buying the desired objects are not just admirable options, they have eternal consequences. The kingdom of God is like a net, Jesus says. Again, a very common thing, and that everyone would have been able to relate to. Finally, the chapter concludes with what really is another parable about these old gifts and new gifts, that it's like his householder who brings out from his storehouse things that are both old and new. Jesus says it's like this scribe who understands what these things are. And I think in many ways it's talking about that, particularly for those who are listening and the disciples, they knew of the scriptures, they knew of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, the commandments and all those things. And certainly the Apostle Paul again had this deep knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures, but when of the old, but then the new, in the sense of Jesus coming, the lights come on for him. And indeed, for the followers of Jesus, there's both the Hebrew scriptures, the old ways, but then there's the new that come together to complete that understanding. This is Matthew chapter 13, of all these parables. And, you know, there was a, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, okay, do I focus on one or two of these, or let's just look at all? So I decided just to try and pick up on a few, on each of them. And I just encourage you to be able, during the week, to reflect a little bit more about each of these parables in the light of the kingdom of. Sometimes you stumble across things, and this is that Jesus is saying that when you stumble across something, you the kingdom of God is like this. There are those who unexpectedly find the kingdom of God. There are those who, like the pearl merchant, are searching and searching for some deeper truth in their life, and they find it. But both things happen for us. Both things happen. For those who seek, they find. But sometimes it's when we're not searching, when we're not looking, that truth sneaks in and we make this amazing discovery of what God is telling us, of what God wants of us, and what the kingdom of God is like. We pray. Lord our God, we think back over this chapter 13, and there's just so much that goes on in this chapter of parable after parable. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we continue to reflect upon these things, that what it is about one of these parables that connects with us and that you want us to learn about life in following Jesus today, now, and what you are calling us to. So continue to help us to understand about your ways in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. During our next hymn, we will our offering will be received. Master speak, your servant hears. And our offering will be received. And as I often say, if you're visiting with us today, there's no obligation to give today. If you'd want to, that's fine, but please don't feel obliged to do so. We'll remain seated for the first few verses and then stand for the final. Thank you. Lord our God, we thank you for your generosity to us, and I pray for your blessing upon what we bring to you this day for the furthering of your kingdom, in and through the name of Christ. Amen. I'm on prayers this morning, so I'll lead us in our prayers for others, and at the end of this prayer, I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you hear us as we come to you in faith, and so in these few moments, we pause to pray for the needs of the world, and for the life of our community, and indeed for our own needs. I pray, Lord, that you will give wisdom to the leaders of the nations, that all may live in peace and mutual trust. Our prayers continue, O Lord, for the United States of America and Iran, that somehow, Lord, amidst the hostilities that exist and have done for many years between those two nations, that there may be substantive progress towards peace and resolution of the conflict that is taking place. Our prayers are similar for other places throughout the Middle East, in Gaza and Lebanon, for Ukraine and Russia. Lord, our hearts continue to go out for the people impacted so drastically by a war that has been going for many years. Again, Lord, please stir within the hearts of those who have the power to do so to bring about peace. Lord, we pray for the life of your church, that you'll send out the light and truth of your gospel, that all may know and love you. We pray, Lord, for the projects that Uniting World support, and that in that way that we support. Particularly, we pray for the Church of North India and the various projects and ministries in the Diocese of Amritsar. Please bless the work that they are doing, and indeed, Lord, for the ministry of Open Doors as well, particularly for this day. We pray for Mexico and the many needs that are happening within that nation. We pray for your blessing upon the work of organisations like Open Doors, who seek to strengthen and support Christians that are persecuted. And we pray that, especially for those who serving Christ brings danger, that you'll give them the strength that they need this day. We pray, Lord, for the life of our community. We pray, Lord, and giving thanks for the many people that are able to share yesterday at Chapel Hill, and we pray for your blessing upon them in the ministry and mission that they continue to share. And for Reverend Karen Ross, the minister there, and for their church council and other leaders, and for the congregation in what they seek to do. We pray, Lord, for our school communities as well, and particularly today for Kenmore South State School, and for the administration team, for chaplains, and the school community in general, that may be a place where children are nurtured and supported, and generally across that community, that may be a place where people are able to know what it is to live in a community that's positive and encouraging, and yet also in the midst of that, be able to know what it is to respect one another. Lord, we continue to pray for many within the life of our own congregation. We continue to pray for Andrew and Dawn and their family as they continue to prepare for family visitors from down south. We continue to uplift them to you. We pray for Evelyn in her ongoing health needs. And as we prayed earlier for Anne and her family, her and Ralph and the family here in Australia, but over in South Africa, we also continue our prayers for Gwenda and Appichart following the death of her brother. We pray, Lord, for your continued peace upon them and your comfort to be upon them. We praise you for all your servants, Lord, whose lives have honoured Jesus. Please encourage us by their example so that we may run with perseverance the race that lies before us and share with them the fullness of joy in your kingdom. And Lord, finally, we pray for our own needs as we continue into the rest of this day. May we look to you for all of our hope and life this day. Christ, who taught his followers the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is Have Faith in God, My Heart, and I invite you to stand and remain standing for the benediction, and then we'll share in morning tea in Char Bar over here, which you're more than welcome to stay and join in continuing fellowship together. Have faith in God, my heart. May the patient love of God steady your heart, guide your steps, and give you hope as you grow in grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.